is a lie. It hides the truth. Beyond the neon lights lurk dark shadows that feed on those that stray too close. In the heart of Tokyo walk creatures never mentioned in the guidebooks. Creatures that need the blood of the living. From Shinjuku to Shibuya, the undead are the hidden power that control this city. Learn the hidden truth in this narrative podcast by independent author Brent Thomas. Learn the hidden truth of Bloody Tokyo. Chapter 19. I tried to warn you. Shinichi's words rang in her ears. She could feel the blood and tears drying on her face, and her belly ached uncomfortably from the full meal she had just consumed. And not only that, but everywhere around her was in chaos. The colors and lights were too bright and detailed. The sounds were too loud and came from everywhere. The chorus of the world threatened to overwhelm her. And there was a dead girl close by. And through that cacophony of sensation, Shinichi's voice rang through, and so did the patronizing pity he employed. Rage purer than any she had felt, except with the exception of her recent firing, erupted through her. Unbidden, she felt her hand form into a fist, and almost before she knew what was happening, she turned. There was his face, a plastic look hung on it that was equal parts pity and annoyance. Her rage grew, even as her fist began to fly. With her new senses, it felt as if she were able to count the milliseconds it took for the punch to lash out. In slow motion, she saw his pity turned to comprehension as he realized too late that she was attacking him. As if from a distance, she watched the knuckles of her hand catch him squarely on his left cheekbone, just between his teeth and nose. The way his skin rolled with the initial impact, she expected his head to cave, but instead, his neck snapped back. The force of the blow sent him sailing backwards, out into the main street that was meters behind them. At once, the world seemed to rush back into real time. She heard shouts and groans coming from the street. Shinichi's sudden and violent appearance seemed to have taken the busy pedestrians by surprise. She could hear curses, gasps of surprise, and an impatient cyclist repeatedly ringing a bell. From somewhere, a small child began a cry that was as much of a shriek as anything else. Yoko sprang forward, driven only by anger and fury. She could see Shinichi rising up from a tangle of passers-by. He did not look amused, but at last his look of pity was gone. "I'm telling you," he began, but she didn't give him time to finish as she started raining punches at his head and chest. Once again, the fury of her barrage seemed to catch him unprepared. More screams came from the crowd. People started running, and those who couldn't run started shoving. Yoko felt something crack and couldn't tell if it was something in her hand or in Shinichi's face. Both were torn and bloody. Her punches were getting wilder, connecting less. She felt tired. Her arms were heavy. She was still angry, but even that felt somehow different. She stopped punching. She felt odd, tired. It was like being out of breath, but somehow different. "Are you finished?" Shinichi asked. She looked up at him. His face, which was generally smooth and somewhat plain, was now bloody and full of lumps. His nose looked crushed, and the flesh around his eye was torn away, revealing far too much of the white and red orb. Peeking out from ragged and bloody lips, she could see his fangs. She nodded. It was all she could muster. She saw him flex his own hands and anticipated his upcoming assault. But then his eyes darted to the side. She followed his gaze and saw the crowd, now farther away, and shedding their panic and starting to take out their smartphones. She heard the electronic shutters click of a few cameras and began to wonder how many of those watching were now recording video. For the first time, she thought she saw panic in Shinichi's eyes. His fear and confusion seemed much greater now than when she had been pummeling him. We're fine, he mumbled unconvincingly. The shutter clicks grew louder, and she heard the chime of more phones starting to record. That's right, we're fine, she echoed in her best chirpy voice, the same voice she had used when working retail during high school and college. That was just a sample of our new stage show. Every night is a different act. Find us on YouTube and at our homepage. Despite the heaviness in her limbs, she tried to strike the usual poses a crowd would expect from an idol. She flashed the peace sign and then smiled while pressing her pointer fingers into her dimples. Shinichi looked over at her with utter confusion and bewilderment. His face looked like a horror show. Isn't that makeup incredible? She cooed to the crowd. But don't worry, he's okay. Shinichi's blank staring continued. Flash them the peace sign and show them you're okay, she hissed at him. He did as instructed, and at last came a smattering of applause. Thank you, Yoko cooed once again. Remember, find us on YouTube and on our homepage. She did her best to sprightly take Shinichi by the arm, even as it felt she was about to collapse from exhaustion. The crowd watched as the two began to slink away. There was a feeling that something wasn't right. Maybe someone should call a patrolman, one of the crowd said to everyone and no one in particular. Just then, booming music began to pound from a truck's loudspeakers. Behind the truck was a living display of skimpily dressed girls dressed as dancing robots. The robot girls were all different shades from a neon rainbow as the loudspeaker suddenly encouraged the crowd to buy fresh waffles at the only store with real robot dancers. The violent street performers were all but dismissed by most as another random event on the streets of Tokyo. Thomas, liking the Brent Thomas author page on Facebook, and by visiting deadlytroubadour.com.
Hello, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Bloody Tokyo. I almost say Bloody Poetry because I did that show in college. I was in a show called Bloody Poetry, and now every time I say Bloody Tokyo, I'm worried I'm going to say bloody poetry, but so far I haven't much. So, this patron shout out actually goes to someone who's pretty special to me. This goes to a person named Claudia. And the reason Claudia is so special to me is because I think of all my patrons, she is the one person who I don't have a direct line of friendship to. One day I just randomly received a donation and a message saying, hey, I found about you from your podcast, Living Japan, another one I do, or I guess it's on hiatus now. I'm not quite sure really, but I found about, Claudia told me she found out about me from that and that she read my book and just really wanted to support me and my family and my endeavor to just create writing and art. And it was just a very special message for me to get. And it actually came at a time when I was feeling pretty negative about what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't want to say I was losing hope a little bit, but it was kind of there. And so it really did mean a lot to me, Claudia. And I really appreciate your support. And you're just one of the people who really makes it possible for me to create and really just makes me take notice that people are reading and I need to just keep doing my best. Thank you very much, Claudia. I'm going along with this because it really means a lot that you support me. So thank you. Thank you very much.